And now I'm introducing you Sunil Maya, who is going to talk about local network access in Firefox.
Hello everyone. Let's discuss cleaning up some local mess. I'm Sunil Maya. I'm a senior software engineer at Firefox networking team. I'm based out of Nuremberg, Germany. So Sylvester told me that this talk is going to be recorded and I can only make appropriate jokes. So I hope dad jokes are fine. Okay. So what's this mess all about? Now, before that, can I get some show of hands, please? How many of you here have Android phones? No, awesome. Okay. Awesome. And how many of you? Okay. Now, before I begin this question, again, my well-wisher Sylvester asked me that I cannot name some of the companies here, so I have spoofed them. So I spoofed some of the names here so that I don't want to get up into some trouble. I have a lot of insurance in Germany, but I don't want to bankrupt the insurance company. So how many of you here have apps from a company called Feta on your Android phones? Oh, don't be shy. Raise them. All right. And okay. So I have got some bad news for you. In June 2025 last year, researchers disclosed that Yandex Metrica and Feta Pixel were using localhost to covertly track you across the web if you were an Android user. And the scale was quite huge. There are close to 5.8 million websites that use Feta Pixel, and about 3 million websites use Yandex Metrica. And this is not a joke. So clearly, how were they able to do this? So it involved these apps, like these names, something similar, opening some local ports on your Android phones and listening to requests from the public web. So when a user browsed the web, and the millions of websites already have these analytic scripts embedded in them, they directly talked to these apps via localhost ports. And what did they share? Allegedly, they shared your cookies, some cookie information, metadata, and also some commands over these ports. And these apps combined this data along with unique IDs and pushed them to the servers owned by these companies. Now, I got some good news for you. Feta used WebRTC for communicating with the local ports. So how many of you use Android, how many of you use Firefox on your Android phone? Awesome. So the good news is you were not affected by Feta apps. Now, I've got even better news. If you had ETP strict mode on in your Firefox, you could have blocked majority of the scripts from Yandex as well. Okay. So just before the disclosure came out, these companies stopped listening to these ports. How convenient. So now that the scale was so rampant, so we decided we had to act a bit immediately, although we were not exposed as widely as some other browsers, but there could be still chance that there are some new actors who would start listening to opening these ports and listening from these scripts. So to fix that, we immediately stopped sending any data to these ports. So that was our immediate fix, but this was just a Band-Aid to a bullet wound. So we needed a deeper surgery, and a cleaner, deep cleaning was necessary in this area. Now, before I explain what we did, as a part of that, I would also like to expose you to some of the problems which are faced by our local network devices. So over the past few decades, our local routers or devices in our local networks are subject to various kinds of attack. One such attack is SOHO farming, where typically your web, your right by web, can directly access your router and interact with it. Let's see typically how such an attack would work. That would involve a user browsing the web and clicking onto a malicious link. And that would trigger some configurations to your routers, which could modify its DNS entries. And when the user now logs into a legitimate website, the IP address would be served from these malicious entries, which would be controlled by the attacker. Now, in order to fix such issues which have spawned over decades and the recent local mess thing, we decided to implement, have a long-term strategy or a long-term solution for this, which was implementing the local network access standard. So what is local network access standard? Google proposed local network standard in February 2025, and it superseded the previously trialed private network access standard which they trialed for 4 years. Now that we decided to follow this approach, let me try to highlight you the key features of the local network access standard. First, the local network access standard proposes categorization of your IP address into three distinctive IP address spaces, namely your loopback address space, which belongs to all the IP addresses on your local device, that's your local host, then a local address space, which where your IP addresses belong to your local network, and then the public address space for the rest of the remaining. So the first key highlight of this standard or this feature is that any request that moves to a more private domain or address space is blocked, and that would require user's permission before the request could actually proceed. The second key highlight is that any insecure request coming to more private domain are automatically blocked. Additionally, it's not just that the resources coming from the network are subject to local network access checks, but also resources loaded from cache are subject to such checks. Now that we highlighted what are the key features or the main highlights of this standard, let's look into how we realize this feature in Firefox. So next time, whenever your website actually tries to access a local resource, we'll be showing them this prompt. So here, the key highlight is that we would, if the user decides to allow or block them, just like our other permissions, we remember this for an hour. And then if the user wants to know more about these permissions, they can click a link to our Sumo page, which has a detailed explanation on what does this access really mean. Additionally, for more curious users, they can open our web console, where we actually dump all the details about this access, namely who is originating that request, where it is supposed to go, what's the IP address using, and also the script which actually makes this access. So making any such accesses more public and no longer covert. Now we also have a separate permission for local network. So now if a request is going to a device in a local network, we show up a different prompt, and rest of the features are similar to the local host access. Now that we discussed the permissions, we also have, if the user wants to modify these permissions at runtime, they can do so by visiting a permission settings page, where they have separate menus for local device and local network options. Further, here, what the user can actually do is they can modify these permissions at runtime, and if they don't want any more prompts, they just want to block any local accesses, then they can directly click that checkbox below there, so that we don't prompt them, but directly block them. Firefox is all about customization and giving more power to our users. So if the user wants finer control or more security enabled, they can do so by changing some of these prefs here, also with their own risk. Now, we got a lot of feedback that some IP addresses, the users wanted to be treated as public. That means no checks for them. So for that, we have configurations for overriding such IP addresses. Now, if the user wants restrictions on a protocol level, for example, if they want these LNA restrictions for WebSockets or for top-level navigations, they can do so by flipping the switch. Further, if the user wants to allow this certain domains, they can also do that by using this configuration option. Finally, for our enterprise users, we've also launched an enterprise policy where they can deploy these configurations at scale. So Chrome started rolling out this feature in 142. They started their, which was, I think, late November. And also they started origin trial and dev trial way back in 138. I would like to highlight the key difference between Chrome's and ours restrictions here, mainly that insecure requests are actually directly blocked in Chrome, where we decided to prompt the user. The idea was to initially understand what kind of breakage this will cause and slowly also make it more stricter. That's blocking. And then the mixed content relaxation. So Chrome relaxes some of the mixed content checks if the fetch request is annotated with a target IP address space parameters. We haven't done that yet. We will see how this evolves and later on adopt that as well. And then when Chrome initially rolled out, it was a single permission policy. That's a single permission is required enough for accessing both your device and your local network, whereas we followed a split permission policy where you need separate permissions between local host and your local network. Chrome in the later releases, they have changed this as well, and now the standard also has been updated to use a dual permission policy. Now that we discussed the key standard details, I would like to detail our plans on rolling out this feature. So we rolled out these restrictions back in August for our nightly users. So in 143 users have already this enabled in their nightly builds. Then we experimented this in our beta and other channels and have gradually started rolling out LNA for our 147 users. However, we restricted this only to our ETP strict users so that we assess the feedback and then move on to wider audience. So if you're on Firefox desktop, kindly update that to the latest build and also choose ETP strict options. So it's not just that you get LNA with ETP strict, but you'll also get a lot of other tracking protections from these. Next, our plan is by 148, 149, we plan to roll it out to all other users. And slowly, we will also start it on Android in the next coming releases. Then again, for other protocols like your WebSockets and WebTransport, we'll also enable them based after 150. Hopefully, we have a smooth experience until then, and we don't see any major problems. Now that I highlighted the plan, I'd like to now explain what are the challenges we faced during our rollout to our beta and nightly users. So the first thing was when we first shipped LNA to our nightly users, we had a very minor bug reported to us. We just broke Google Earth. So this was, however, fixed in a day, and that's why I guess still have my job. However, this was not still the case for other clients. For example, an email client like Bicky. Here, what happened was there are clients which usually open your web browser for authentication. And once the authentication is complete, those requests are redirected to the clients. And we detect this as a local network access, so do other browsers, and we prompt the user. So when we prompted the user, we canceled the connection to the local client, and that the client detected as an anomaly and failed the transaction. And hence, there are a few clients out there, although this was not the case for other top-level navigation cases. For example, Google CLI Auth worked quite well with LNA prompts, but there are a few more clients which needs to still adapt. So what we did was similar to Chrome, we have not enabled any top-level navigation restrictions for LNA, but soon, as other clients adapt, we are going to fix that. Next, other rollout challenge which we faced was these prompts started appearing in websites where you least expect them. For example, if you see these prompts on a site like Plex, that's quite intuitive. You know that you're actually making an access to your local resource, and that's why you have this prompt. But imagine a site like Citibank prompts you. Apparently, Citibank actually scans through your local network or your devices in your local host to see if certain ports are open. Apparently, they have some kind of fraud detection software to see if certain ports are open in your local ports, and they've been doing this for years. So when a prompt is shown, this spooked some of our users. And then we also seen cases where we throw this prompt unnecessarily. For example, consider the case of captive portals. When the user tries to log into a captive portal, this is again a genuine local access. We already alert our users that there's been captive portal login, so we thought it was unnecessary to prompt them again for a local network access. Similarly, there are also a lot of websites like Reddit and Discord, which actually periodically ping your network just to check if the connectivity is fine. Although they always try to fetch your public resources, but there are some network anomalies or your ISP fluctuation, which can lead to this request diverted to a local resource. Even in such cases, we saw that these prompts were raised and caused confusion. Now we are mitigating for captive portals case, we decided not to prompt them. However, for cases like which where we saw prompts on Reddit and Discord, we are still investigating it to find out how we can detect these anomalies and runtime. Finally, we had few edge cases in corporate network. So a bug was raised from an employee from Twilio. Here, in this case, they have a service which is hosted locally in their cloud. And this service is also accessible outside from the web. So whenever the user moves to the corporate network and they have workflows where the request moves a lot from the public to private cloud, they experienced a lot of prompts. So much prompt that it prompted them to prompt us a bug. So that gave us a motivation to give them more control for the users and enterprise, where we introduced target domain-based filtering or allow listing. So these are some of the challenges which we faced during our rollout. And we still continue to improve further before we roll this out and as we roll out. One area where we're actually looking out here is to reduce the prompt frequency. Here, for example, imagine this. You are on a Plex site watching your movies and getting prompted every 1 hour or disrupted. I think that's quite disturbing and a bit kills the user experience for our users, and we want to basically avoid that. And not to do that, we actually are planning to increase the permission prompts from 1 hour to 24 hours. Then other things we are working on is to actively reduce this false positive, which we see. However, this is not a majority of our concern which are coming out, but there are still a minority which we would like to address so that our users are not confused. Finally, we also are improving on better messaging. We are working with the user experience team. We have deployed these prompts across various users to check how they feel about this prompt and if there's any way we could do to improve this. And finally, there is still a strong need to improve the existing security. I mean, come on, this is like a prompt where which depends on an untrained eye to make the right decision for you. Although this is a significant step in combating the local mess or your local network attacks, however, I don't think it's the perfect security. We still need to strive where we can improve the security while deploying this. And then finally, the call for action. I think I still have some time. So yes, so I request you, if you are one of the services who depends on the communication between your public web and a local host, do test our implementation and file bugs. And if you are more concerned about the spec, feel free to join the discussion there and help us find some solutions. And finally, the most impactful one. All right. Okay. I guess that's it. This is implementing local network access standard is one of the important and necessary step in moving towards a more healthier internet web, at least for our private devices. And if you have more questions, want to reach out to us, you can find us here. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. Are there any questions?
You mentioned the example of Citibank doing some fingerprinting on your local network. Have you found that this change has caused any sites to stop doing local network accesses for fingerprinting cases?
No. In case the question was, after deploying this feature, did any site stop doing this? At least Citibank has not, because I think first is like we have not disabled WebSockets for, Citibank does a WebSocket connections to check this. So we haven't found Citibank stop doing this. And the thing is, some of the websites have updated their documentation explaining why they prompt. So they're more explicit about this. Yes. But what we have seen extensively is the ad networks trying to fingerprint you. They haven't stopped doing that.
Are you aware of any work from other? Are you aware of any other browsers starting to implement this?
Yes, Chrome has done that. Chrome has shipped this in 142, and we fast followed.
Hi. Thanks for the interesting talk. I was wondering, for applications or services breaking because of this permission model, have you considered feeding forged data to the the service in question?
Can you give an example of that?
For example, for the Citigroup fingerprinting, maybe you could, generate some plausible looking data.
I think that's an interesting approach, but the thing here is that some of them are doing it for legitimate reasons, so that has to be dealt on a case-on-case basis. I mean, there are, there are thousands of websites which are actually doing this. For example, we found a lot of government websites actually trying to connect to a particular app on a particular port. We don't know that's a legitimate access or an local MISC kind of a thing. So it's hard for us to even maintain a list on what to serve for each particular website, because if we serve something else, that might even break their workflows. So hence, I don't think we have considered that approach of feeding some forced data to such websites. However, what could be feasible is if we have enough evidence of a certain website deliberately doing this, is to basically deny list them, so not allow the request at all.
Thank you again for the great talk. I was wondering, have you been able to find out if this was only a problem by Feta on robot phones, or is this also a problem with Feta on banana phones?
No, this was only a problem reported on Feta on the Android phones.
Hi, Ed. Thanks for raising awareness. A very cool presentation. I was wondering if, in the interest of like reducing unnecessary prompts, do you have any kind of way to, I don't know, like roll out a web compat like configuration to prevent these prompts from happening and just like either block them or allow them through? And is it limited on like a port number and so on, or is it just a blanket allow or deny?
So the question is, do we have any web platform compatible way to allow or deny certain sites? Unfortunately, we, as far as I know, at least for the LNA feature, we don't have, because the way we could allow or deny certain features is, one is remote permissions. We could configure remote permissions across Firefox for certain websites, and I don't think that's in a web compat way. Then is the user config and enterprise policies. So these are very specific to our implementation, although our enterprise policy uses suffix wildcard-based matching, which is somewhat similar to Chrome, but it's like separate policy and separate configuration. So we don't have a similar single web compact way to do this thing.
Do you plan to do so or not?
I'm not aware of any proposal of trying to do this. But if you have, please raise them at the spec. We could think of it. Thanks.
Another question?
Hello, thank you for the talk. And I was wondering, since you mentioned that there were some websites that surprising that you didn't expect were doing this kind of local requests, I was wondering if there is, gathered by you or maybe by someone else, like any statistics on how many websites are performing either legitimately or not, are trying to access the local network?
Yes, I think the numbers are in thousands of websites who are doing it, and till we saw there are. This is a big web is really funny, right? So like, we have some cases where you see it's one of the big media websites trying to do that, but eventually it's some ad blocker actually trying to change your DNS entry and redirecting that request to localhost. That we detect as a local network access, whereas it was the ad blocker doing the right thing. So we have thousands of websites, but we haven't categorized them into which is actually malicious and which is not. So for at least for now, we haven't done that work.
One last question.
Yeah, just a very quick question. Do you also do IPv6 because you only show IPv4?
No, this is for all, IPv4 and IPv6. So, okay. Yes.
Okay, thank you. We are running out of time, so. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you all.